Everybody, welcome to Money Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Kevin Horry alongside, as always, take it a three, hand it off to our great buddy Phil Bonatti. His fine show behind the bench for 2 hours today, and then it's time for the final of the 6 wild card weekend playoff games. And I think most people know it's been an exceptional weekend of NFL football. 4 of the 5 going down to a final position. And even last night, as poorly as the Chargers played offensively, or maybe as well as the Patriots played defensively, Chargers still had a shot in that last 5 minutes. They couldn't close within one, but it wasn't quite as compelling as the other four. But from the time things kicked off with the Rams game Saturday morning, there were 4 games back to back to back that you couldn't ask for more. And for us, we'll wrap it up tonight through Westwood One and then get ready for the divisional round. We know the teams and when they're going to play and where they're going to play. The only thing we're waiting on is which team will be going to New England, but we know the winner of the game tonight between the Steelers and the Texans will be going to New England to play. What we're waiting on is which game will be the early and late game and which network will have those games for you. That'll be decided after the game wraps up tonight. But for us, all 4 on Westwood One Radio beginning on Saturday. I'll tell you all about the schedule for tonight and the rest of the week a little bit later on, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering, Planning, Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, Landscape, Architecture, Construction Management. It's all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. And we will, when we go with the schedule, chat about the great fundraising Ed has for the Lyles College of Engineering on campus at Fresno State. Paul with us on a Monday. A lot of emails to go over, a lot of conversation, not only about basketball because of Fresno State's loss in San Diego and the fact that they have a very important homestand coming up beginning tomorrow against Colorado State, but also a lot of college football issues. We're waiting now just 1 more week for the national championship game, but the powers that be are already huddling up to see if we're going to expand beyond 12 as soon as next year. So I'll talk to Paul about all of that in just a couple of minutes. But first, our other lead dogs, as always, want to spend some time with you. People at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, been in the Central Valley since 1981. Terrific local people. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. They allow me the time every day to tell you about the weather. Get more information for Lee's, leesair.com, or 825-5337, 825-Lee's. They also sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline. That's how we bring up guests, like Paul Leffler, and Phil also can bring up guests from the general public during his show. So mark it down. 559-320-1430. As far as the forecast goes, a lot of same old for the next 7 days. Highs sitting right around 57 to 59. We'll get into the 60s if the sun breaks through at the end of the 7 day. The lows after a 38 tonight will be in the 40s. And one more time, and I don't need to tell you about the danger of fog because we had that very tragic 17-car pileup on 99 over the weekend. Be careful in the fog. It's going to be out there to varying degrees, particularly when you get out in the outlying areas. So slow down. Make sure you know what's in front of you. If you can possibly figure it out well in advance when you're on the road, don't get surprised. That's what happened on 99 with a couple of cars slowing down and others behind them evidently not being aware of it, and it caused that tragic situation where at least one person has lost their life. A lot of others are still in the hospital right now. Anyway, it is this time of year. There's no rain in the forecast, and the winds are down, and that is a recipe for fog. Hopefully you get through it okay. At the end of the 7 day, as I mentioned, we get back into the 60s, and then starting next week, we should be close to the mid-60s. And I mentioned this one more time. Used to be February was like this as well, but over the last several years, maybe decades actually, it has been more about spring when we get to February. So if you can survive January okay, even though the fog can be there in the morning, suddenly it warms up in a pretty big hurry. So right now, be careful with the fog. Hope it burns off every day, the sunshine, and we thank everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time to bring you the weather again. Lee'sAir.com. Anything you need, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, Roofing, Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430, or to call them directly, 825-5337, 337-825-LEASE for anything you might need in regard to Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing. We thank them every day for their sponsorship. The final reminder before I bring Paul up comes from our good friends at KFC, where on Tuesdays they have the Thank God It's Tuesday going right now, which is the $10 eight-piece bucket, which is either 8 pieces of KFC's best or also 8 tenders. But running alongside of that is the new Zinger chicken sandwich. It's a crispy hand-breaded chicken filet. It's brand new, seasoned just right, and served hot on a toasted bun with cool, crispy lettuce and creamy sauce that'll hit every craving for you. And I mention this every day. It sounds great to me, particularly at 2:11 in the afternoon. It's bold, it's spicy, and it's finger-looking good, as always at KFC. So whether you crave the spice or just crave the great taste, the Zinger delivers that delicious KFC crunch you love. So stop on by the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Pick up a Zinger sandwich or two. Be aware of the great deals they have with the 10-piece bucket on Tuesday. They also have their country fried steak specials on Wednesday. Their pot pies are also part of their special package right now. So a lot going on at the local KFCs. And if you stop in, tell them thanks for supporting athletics throughout this great valley of ours. So anyway, thanks everybody at the local KFCs, Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. And thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. And now on Lee's Air Hotline, it is the voice of your Bulldogs and always a Monday visitor. It's Paul Leffler. Paul, how you doing?
Tony, I'm enjoying the sunshine. What a beautiful day.
Yeah, it broke early today, and that's good news, and it's really good news in regard to the fog. We'll get to Fresno State in a second. One thing, Rigo had emailed in. Yeah, Rigo, I want to give Eric Kendricks, of course, the former Hoover and UCLA standout, but mainly because he is a former Hoover Patriot, for the big play yesterday that broke up that final chance for Philly and enabled the 49ers to win. And mention this because, you know, Eric is at the tail end of a great career and actually was going to sign with the 49ers last year, but at the last second, the Cowboys gave him a better offer, had a chance now with all the injuries. And what he is, Rigo, trying to do is become another local product that is a key cog in a 49ers Super Bowl. Those of us that are a little bit older know that the first 49ers Super Bowl back in 1981, the end of the 91 season, actually January of 82 in Detroit at the old Silver Dome, one of the leaders of the team and a great, great player was Charlie Young, one of the greatest athletes ever to come out of this area, a multi-sport athlete at Edison, went to USC, and one of the best tight ends that the National Football League has ever seen. He was the emotional leader of that 49er team, so that was a local guy. The first 49er Super Bowl, and of course the last one that they won, which amazingly is 31 years ago, our great friend Tim McDonald was the defensive captain and the guy that Bill Walsh said is the best strong safety to ever play in the National Football League. So if Eric Kendricks can find a way to join that kind of group, it would be great. I said this, Rigo, before, and I'll say it again. I don't think, given the injuries and now Kittle going down yesterday, that when this playoff started, the 49ers would have enough to get past Philly and then likely back to Seattle and then probably the Rams. And I think that's how it would play out. If they can do that on the road, I'll tell you, I'll tip my hat to them. I'm pulling for them, but I think it's going to be really, really difficult. I'd love to be wrong about this. We'll find out on Saturday when they go up to Lumen Field to play a team that dominated them a couple weeks ago. But keep in mind, the 49ers did win in Seattle earlier in the year. All right, that having been said, Paul, I want to turn to Saturday night and ask you in this regard about Fresno State so far basketball-wise. It has been kind of according to form where – if you looked at this conference schedule, we didn't think they would be able to beat Utah State at home or San Diego State on the road. They kept it close against Utah State. They didn't get embarrassed on Saturday night. But without Collins, they really couldn't get themselves in the game where you thought they had a chance to win. But a couple of games they could have won, as we talked, gotten away. The one at UNLV, certainly, and the one at home against Nevada. Now, Paul, I would purport to you that the games coming up tomorrow against Colorado State at home and Saturday against Wyoming are the most critical games of the year because these are winnable games, but they're also losable games. But I think it's time to sweep a homestand and show everybody in the community that this team is making progress. Is that a fair view in your mind?
Yeah, that would be huge, right? I mean, you know, as close as they've played these other schools, and UNLV is really talented, one of the more talented teams in the league. Nevada is really well coached and, you know, has a former Bulldog who's playing really well and found a matchup that tilted the table in that game. You know, those games are winnable. So if you're close enough to those teams, you're close to most of the league. I think it's pretty clear right now, San Diego State and Utah State are cut above everyone. You know, Saturday night, no Zaion Collins. I think San Diego State knew that and really didn't play very hard. I mean, it was kind of like a pickup game at times. It was kind of a strange game. I think if Zaion plays, it would have been interesting. San Diego State might have won by more because they might have been a little more urgency. Because when you look at that team physically, that's by far the most talented team in the league. I don't think it's even close. I mean, they've got a center who's making almost $2 million this year and is going to play in the NBA and could have had 40 the other night if they exploited that matchup. That's a really gifted team that I think in some ways is underachieved this year. And those are the matchups that maybe if Zaion's healthy, you have a chance to sneak up on them if they're as lackadaisical as that. And the Dogs won't see them again. Utah State just executes so well, is so deep, comes at you in waves. And when the Dogs go to Logan, that's going to be a tough one. But I think every other matchup you have to look at and say, hey, why not? You know, if we find the right group on the floor at the same time and find advantages and make shots, there's a chance. And one of the reasons I think people can be optimistic. Now, you know, I realize when you won six games last year and you've only won seven so far this year, that's not what people are used to. So you don't want to lower expectations. But some of the things that I think could bode well for the future are how many freshmen are playing major minutes and how much better they're getting. I mean, look at Deshaun Gorey, back-to-back double-doubles. He had 14 rebounds in San Diego the other day. He's getting more and more confident. He's a guy who I think by the end of the year could be potentially one of the better players in the league. And if you get to him to a point where when the game's on the line, he's got his ball in his hands and he can create his own shot, all of a sudden that's a game changer. So I think that development is important. I thought the number of minutes that DJ Stickman got was really big because athletically he's the one guy that every game, you know, can hang with the athleticism on the other side. And so that was big for him to get experience. I thought his stat line could have looked better if this guy's made some shots because he created opportunities for his teammates. He was able to draw attention and good timing, good vision, good passing, you know, did some really solid things. So that's positive. I think for this homestand, having a healthy Zaion Collins is going to be critical. And that's one of the reasons they held him out. You know, Coach Wahlberg said, hey, if this was a Mountain West tournament, he would have played. But when you have a chance to get two wins at home this week versus a game nobody expects you to win, and you get him a couple extra days of rest, clearly the right decision. So let's see how close to 100% he is tomorrow night. And, you know, outside of San Diego State and Utah State, maybe Grand Canyon is the next best team. We'll see. Well, you know, time will tell. But Boise State right now has hit a tailspin. And that's the other factor. Momentum can multiply so quickly now in the NIL era because priorities have changed. And we're talking to some folks around San Diego State around that. You know, their defensive mentality has been their hallmark for so long. They've been able to get guys to transfer in and give up personal stats because they know they're going to win as a team. But now in the portal era and NIL, your money is tied to your production. So guys aren't as willing to sacrifice their stats for the ultimate stat of winning. And it's created these competing motivations that I think what everyone thought they knew before about which team's going to win, some of that goes out the window now because you could have a really talented team that isn't playing together at all.
Well, you know, Paul, along those lines, and you brought it up about the conference, we have seen the conference go four, even five deep, and yet over the weekend in San Diego, the statement was made by one of the network people that right now, if you were to start the NC2As at the moment, not talking about the conference champion, of course, because you wouldn't know because the conference tournament, the only team that would probably make it as an at-large is Utah State. So do you view that then as this is a window of opportunity, save for that absolute upper echelon, which isn't as deep as it's been? a window of opportunity then for this Fresno State team to be a solid middle of the pack or a little bit above team. I mean, is that asking too much? I know you got to crawl before you walk. We know that. And we've seen in every sport that as teams start to get better, there's always that lag of a year or so before they're able to push through. Can this team push through in this critical year for Vance Wahlberg?
Well, I think this week is going to tell a lot of that story. If they can get both of these and get back to 3-4, you know, all of a sudden you've got some momentum. Then you got to head to Albuquerque. That's not easy. And Grand Canyon here, not going to be an easy game. But maybe if you generate momentum this week, you can pull some of those out. And the other thing is what I said, the youth, right? You have so many freshmen who are getting calibrated to college basketball, and they are improving. And some teams, that's going the other way. You know, some teams, they're starting to lose motivation. Maybe one guy got hurt or the chemistry's bad. You know, momentum happens within a season for reasons other than what happens between the lines. And so if this team stays together, if the trust deepens between players, between coaches and players, and they start winning some close games instead of losing them, because, I mean, that's the other thing. If they had won every game they had a chance to win, in other words, that, you know, that was a winnable game within the last 2-3 minutes, you know, this team might be 13-3 instead of 7-9. So if they can flip that script and start getting those games instead of letting them slip away, and make that their new defining hallmark, yeah, sure, they could generate that kind of momentum. But I think it has to start this week. If you, you know, on the other side of that coin, if you lose them both this week and now you're 1-6 going to Albuquerque, all of a sudden that snowball got awfully heavy and it's a boulder rolling on top of you. So this is a really pivotal week for the team. What I've seen from the guys is, you know, they've stayed dialed in. They really enjoy each other's company. Playing for each other to an extent, which is hard to find in college sports anymore, believe it or not. I think there's some good things going, but this is the week where all of that needs to translate to victories. And so tomorrow night, in that sense, you know, I think right up there with last Tuesday at San Jose, if they had not come through and, you know, dominated that game the way they did and ended up on the other end of it, you know, that could have really dealt a blow. And I think tomorrow night, kind of similarly, you get that win, all of a sudden it opens more possibilities. And
well, and particularly being able to come back home
would be really good. Yeah, exactly.
Right, as opposed to that.
And the fans can make a difference.
Yeah. Well, and again, Paul, the thing about last week was the problem you had was you had to win at San Jose. We talked about it going in, but then you knew you had the trip to San Diego. As you pointed out and we talked about at the start of this conversation, this is a window of opportunity week because it's, these are two winnable games against two teams that are below 500 in conference, above with their total record because of their non-conference schedule. But they are two teams that can beat you, or you can beat them. And as opposed to going San Jose and then San Diego, where you're saying, you know what, if we can get San Jose, great. We're probably not going to get San Diego. You can make the legitimate chance if you can get the one tomorrow, which again, 6 o'clock tomorrow at SMC, then 4 o'clock on Saturday, you have a chance to sweep the homestand. And I am in total lockstep with you. This is a homestand you need to sweep because you have to go back in the road again. And at some point, this team has to believe in itself. I know that this is something the coaching staff is pushing forward. But we've talked about it, Paul, and you know this from playing competitively at any level. You have the only way you can truly believe you're going to win is by winning. That's it. You can't just come close all the time and think, okay, well, someday it's going to happen. At some point, you have to push through, and you are correct. There's been game after game the last 2 years where they not only have lost close games, in all honesty, they have snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. They have to quit beating themselves late, and they have to find a way on their home floor to become that kind of presence, because it's never going to be easy on the road in this conference by travel alone. So I'm waiting to see. I hope people come out tomorrow. And again, 6 o'clock for Fresno State and Colorado State, 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon against Wyoming. Paul, I wanted to ask you about baseball first, and then I'm going to turn our attention toward the conversations that are taking place fundamentally just between Sankey and Fatidi, the two commissioners of the SEC and the Big Ten. Everybody else has kind of ceded control. And Bavakwa, the Notre Dame AD, has some say about where we're headed with the college football playoff. But first, how close are we to all the festivities baseball-wise for Fresno State? We're closing in, right?
Oh, yeah. A week from Friday, double play dinner. So if you don't have your tickets yet, GoBulldogs.com, sign up. Congrats to Coach Overland. He is a proud father. And so they became parents last week. Congrats to the Overlands. I don't think we're going to see the baby at the double play dinner, but maybe. So the double play dinner a week from Friday. And then the alumni game, which is free on Saturday. That's right before the basketball game against Grand Canyon. So you can pop in there. And actually, there's a women's game before the men's game against Grand Canyon, too. So you got all kinds of options. And then the season opener, February 13th. So if you don't have season tickets yet, really exciting schedule opening up with the first eight at home, four against Utah, four against Pepperdine. They go to Stanford. They go to Arizona for weekend series. You know, it's a really challenging schedule, and it's their last year in this conference with a chance to make it three Mountain West tournament titles, three NCAA bids in a row, going into what's going to be a real quality baseball conference next year in the Pac-12 with Oregon State jumping in. So a big year, you know, I think an important springboard year for baseball. And I do want to say one last thing about basketball, Tony, because when I say the crowd can make a difference, there's some context there. You look at this last week, and, you know, going into the week, Boise State had a net ranking that people thought, hey, maybe they're still an NCAA tournament team this year. They host Grand Canyon on a Tuesday night at 9:15 Mountain Time because of television, and there's nobody there. And Leon Rice basically blames it on the fans that they lost because the arena was empty, but who's going to show up at 9:15 on a Tuesday night, right? So, you know, a 6 o'clock start on a Tuesday night, get your kids, go after work. That's a really good deal. And tickets are inexpensive, GoBulldogs.com. But, you know, if a coach somewhere else is blaming the lack of fans for the fact that his team lost at home, it just, you know, the other side of that coin is when people show up, you've got a better chance to win. And, you know, this team is showing some progress. And if you haven't, you know, I would say this too. Maybe you came to a game in the first week or two. Some of these freshmen are so much better now. So much more comfortable, so much more acclimated to the game. On top of, you know, these guys are getting a better feel. And now DJ Douglas, every game he's getting healthier and healthier. His hustle on defense in the first half of San Diego State the other night was the only reason that game wasn't over in the first 10 minutes. You know, he really is playing hard and earning more minutes, and he can really shoot the basketball. So if you haven't seen DJ play, who's injured early, I'd come out, take a look at that, see the development of Gorey, what Stickman's starting to do. There are a lot of things that are looking up, and, you know, the guy that really matured faster than anybody else for his freshman year was Wilson Jack. And I think these are going to be favorable matchups for him this week against Colorado State and Wyoming. So I'd love to see a bunch of red waivers out there tomorrow night at 6.
Well, I hope it does turn into a happening again in town. I know it's going to take a lot of work. People need to know, first of all, they are playing, and that's been a battle when I talk to people about just being aware they're playing. So please check GoBulldogs.com. But beyond that, the W's need to come, and everybody knows that. By the way, Rick, up in the hinterlands of Northern California, I appreciate your email about basketball. I'll try to address it with Jackson. By the way, tomorrow I'll talk more about transfer portal. And, Jonas, you asked about the guys coming in. We touched upon quarterbacking last week. You have a few more commitments. I'll go over all of that with Jackson. I'll ask Paul if he wants to comment on anybody in just a second. But the other thing you asked me about, I refer to it as the pack, Jonas. I always have. And the reason is because I know that Washington State and Oregon State continue to refer to it as the Pac-12 when it was just the two of them. It still is technically right now until we start conference next year. They did that for legal reasons. Right now, you not only don't have the same amount of teams, 12 out there, you don't have the same number in any given sport either. There are different amounts for basketball, baseball, and football going in the next year. To me, just the pack is fine. But I grew up with the Pac-8, then the Pac-10, then the Pac-12. So I'm not hung up on the number. And in all honesty, across the country, if you check, a lot of the conferences that have a moniker that has a number on it, it's not the accurate amount. Just ask the Big Ten, who has twice that much. So That's all I'm telling you. All right, Paul, anything you want to comment about the transfer portal guys coming in at all? You want to save it for Jackson tomorrow when I talk to him?
Yeah, let Jackson handle it. And just, you know, I think the key thing is you don't know till you see him, right? You don't know till the spring. But the track record of the staff with how that went this year and the contributions of the transfer portal players, you know, this team doesn't win 9 games without that. So I think that should give you confidence that if they, you know, hit so close to 1,000 last year in the transfer portal, hopefully you're going to see something similar this year, because that comes down to what traits they're identifying, how they're making those decisions. Are they program guys who are going to fit the Fresno State culture or not?
Right. Yeah. Well, again, we will talk about it tomorrow. All right. Speaking of football, Paul, this is something I wanted to ask you about today. The original decision-making window was back in December for whether we're going to see an expansion of the playoffs beyond 12. It has been very well received this year. The games have been competitive by and large. You know, the first round, a couple, no. But it was a compelling week of football, no doubt about it. We know that next year there are changes already in the works no matter what, even if we stay at 12, including Notre Dame in a situation where if they're in the top 12 nationally in the CFP rankings, they automatically get in. It would have actually taken Miami out this year. So keep that in mind when a week from tonight on our air you have Indiana and Miami playing. Hurricanes would not have been in if the structure of next year was in place right now. But the bigger issue beyond that is whether Petitti and Sankey, the two commissioners of the Big Ten and the SEC, can see eye to eye about an expansion to at least 16 for next year. And of course, they're trying to work out the automatic qualifiers within that. With the 12 right now, we all know the group of six, if you will, still get an automatic qualification. There are a lot of machinations right now taking place. I will ask you, Paul, the one issue, the headline issue, although there's a number of, you know, devil in the details below it. Right now, you have Sankey, who would like to see, that's the SEC commissioner, would like to see 16, and you have and a vetting process over the next 3 years beyond that to make a decision at that point about whether 24 is the best idea. And you have Petitti, who is saying, I'll tell you what, I'll go 16 with you beginning next year. If you guarantee in 3 years we're going to go to 24, that gives everybody enough time to figure out automatic qualifiers, enough time to get your conference championships out of the schedule, which most people would like to get out. But you got to give me more than just we'll address it in 3 years. Paul, if you were king for a day, would you rather see them go to 16 next year and then the guarantee that 3 years later it'd be a 24, or would you be more prone to say let's wait at 12 and vet this thing and we'll make a decision in 3 years about where to go to 24? Where will you be at in this thing? Because it might be the deal breaker between the two of them right now.
Yeah, you know, I don't have a real strong opinion, Tony. I think what the question that I'd be asking is, okay, what's the real story? So, you know, because if you look at it now, you know, people were so excited when there was a 12, you know, finally found out there's going to be a 12-team playoff.
Right.
Well, what we didn't know then is the whole game was going to change with NIL and the portal to give an even greater advantage to the schools that kept the group of five programs out for so long. Now they call it the group of six and the power four, which is, you know, just another reflection of the guys in the power conferences don't want the other conferences to ever have a chance. And every chance they get, they try to talk about how they don't belong. I mean, you saw it this year. James Madison doesn't belong. Well, I mean, James Madison put up more points than Oregon did, right, when it came to that matchup. So, like, you know, that was a different round. I get it. But you get my point. They're looking for any way to knock the little guy down and ultimately to exterminate him. I mean, that is the goal, is to make sure that schools like Fresno State never have a chance to compete for a national championship in those sports. So what I would say is, from a Fresno State perspective, which one of those options that you're talking about gives the power conferences more power, more ability to shut the smaller school or the smaller budget school out of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go with the one that looks like, at least in the short term, it's going to give a better opportunity for schools like Fresno State and so many others to remain relevant and at least have a theoretical chance.
And again, Paul, you and I are in total agreement, and you know I brought this up on air before. Feinbaum said the quiet stuff out loud after the first round, again, because you had two group of five schools in, and he fundamentally said, and Paul Feinbaum is essentially the mouthpiece of the SEC. That's what he is, by and large. I mean, he's a very knowledgeable guy, but clearly his loyalties and his paycheck belong to the SEC. That's where he draws his money. And he just flat out basically said the group of five schools don't belong. They're dragging things down. That's essentially what he was saying in so many words. He didn't say it directly, but that's what he meant. And that's the reason, Paul, and you know this, one of the dangers about going to 24, you would say, well, you know, going to 24 would be even better, except one of the provisos that could be in there is if they go to 24, there are no automatic qualifiers. So you are going to take the best 24. Sounds diplomatic, but as you're mentioning, Paul, it will invariably turn into 24 schools of the haves, right?
That's what they want. Yeah. So you expand it in the name of greater access, but basically you're just reinforcing the power structure and separating further from the schools that are trying to catch up. And that's been what most of these moves, the ultimate impact of most of these moves for a long time.
And that's why right now in the 12, if it stays at 12 for next year, which it will, if they can't reach agreement about when the timeline would be 24. So they're not going to go to 16. At least Petitti says he will not go to 16 without a guarantee in 3 years of going to 24. If it stays at 12, the automatic qualifier for the group of five or group of six, I guess, is still in there. I would assume, Paul, it would still be there at 16, but it could be the compromise at 24. And that would be very, very unfortunate. And look, we have talked about this over and over again. You know, how many schools, because of James Madison, said, you know what, we were a lot better than James Madison, so I don't care if you take 100 schools. If we're the 101st school, we're still more deserving than James Madison if they're the 100th school. I mean, how in the world can you offset that particular statement, Paul, when you can't, you cannot play the schedule, even if you wanted to? You cannot play the schedule that the big boys play, because if you did that, you wouldn't have a conference in front of you, right? I mean, you can only, you know, you can only dance with what brung you. You can load up your non-conference schedule the best you can. If they're all Power 4, Power 5 schools, whatever they were at the time, on the road, that's going to be tough. They don't want to come to your place. But even if you did that and succeed, Paul, if they're going to denigrate your schedule because you got to go play conference, what are you supposed to do?
And that's it, right? And it's a double standard. We've seen it forever. But, you know, I don't know what's going to change it outside of some kind of congressional intervention. And I don't know if that would really work, right? And we've seen what lobbyists do in the political system. And no one has more lobbying power than the SEC and the Big Ten. So it's an unfortunate reality. But it's what, you know, schools like Fresno State are faced with. And I think over time, you're going to see more and more schools of that profile making tougher and tougher decisions. And some of them might just get really creative about how they try to slice things up. And that'll be interesting to see, you know. And it's a time for really good, bold, visionary leadership. And, you know, I know Fresno State has leadership in place that is not afraid to take chances. I think that's been clear. So let's see in the months ahead, you know, what kind of creativity can come from the leadership on campus, whether it's, you know, the office of the president or Garrett Classy, who, you know, has taken some big swings so far and found success with a lot of them. So more credit to him for getting creative and trying to find new ways to slice up the pie. And ultimately, the most important job is to engage the red wave, because that's who's going to get it done. So, you know, could some prominent alumni be part of the equation at some point? Sure. And that question comes up all the time. And, you know, I think those guys didn't get to where they are by doing foolish things. So if that's ever going to happen, they need to know what it really means and how successful it can be. But I wouldn't be shocked if we see some creative things coming from the university here in the next year or two.
Well, we'll see what happens. Paul, the final point about this, and appreciate the time as always, again, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, SMC, Colorado State is in, 4 o'clock on Saturday. It'll be Wyoming, so a homestand for the basketball team. Paul, we've talked about this many, many times. One of my great personal frustrations that every time Fresno State seems to catch up, the goal they have seems to sprint away and they have to catch up again. It's happened conference-wise repeatedly from the PC2A to the Big West, whatever. Always when they arrive somewhere, as they did with the WAC, then the WAC pulls away. They arrive at the Mountain West and the Mountain West is pulled away. Start to catch up now, and what happens in the pack, we'll see. This is the pack is a work in progress. Right now, the pack is basically the Mountain West upper echelon, as we've talked, and then Oregon State and Washington State. But they do have room to expand over the years. We'll see what they do. The intelligent decisions have to be made. That having been said, one of the things that we've talked about over and over again is, for so many years, if you just have the requisite money to compete, not money to buy players, but to compete, and then you had a conference schedule that required big names. If you were in the Big 12, for instance, or in the original Pac 8 or Pac 10, 12, required teams to have to come and play you home and home. Your geographic advantage between NorCal and SoCal, you're just close enough, or you're just far enough away. The ability for your fan base to entice players to come to play. If it wasn't about paychecks, you had a real shot, okay? It turns into paychecks now. So now you find yourself chasing again. In that regard, do you take heart in what has happened with an Indiana that was a traditional doormat, or do you say, as I have brought up on air, the reality is all that is an underperforming have who was able through benefactors, because they already had the schedule and the conference money from that schedule and that conference association, they were an underperforming have who now claims some sort of equality because it's leveled the playing field, but only after the gate has been closed to everybody else. Is that too cynical? Is that reality? Or is there something in there that's a glowing light of hope for a Fresno State?
Well, I think the hope comes from the way Kurt Cignetti's done it, right? Yeah, the money, that's a big piece of it. But it's not all of it. And it's been pointed out many times, right, where the recruiting rankings were for the young men on his team versus some of his competition. I mean, if you looked at the recruiting rankings, Ohio State should have destroyed Indiana. That's not what happened. Because team trumps, you know, individuals. And so I think that's how you make it up. That's how you overcome resource gaps. That's how you overcome NIL budget gaps. It's through, a culture, a team mentality. And that's been the beauty of college sports for all of its existence. It's getting eviscerated in this era of me, when it was always the we before me. It created the best stories and the most impactful life lessons. So I think Indiana, even though there's a giant payroll, sure, there's still some semblance of that in the culture that I think other teams can emulate. And I think that's how Matt Entz views Fresno State football. Those are the things he emphasizes. Those are the things that he's calling guys to. You know, when you don't have a matchup at one position, you have to find another area where you do have a matchup, you know, where you have an advantage. And I think he's looking really hard and long at it to say, what kind of advantage can Fresno State have if we don't have the sheer financial advantage? If you're going up, let's say the Bulldogs end up with $3 million for NIL this year, and they're playing Boise State or San Diego State with $6 or $7 million. Is the game over because of what they spent on their team? We know better than that. You know, you show up and you find a way. And, you know, there were times this year the Bulldogs did that. And the Boise State game's a key example. You know, they won on the line of scrimmage. And I think there's going to be some exciting skill players on the field next year. Getting Josiah Freeman back, it's huge. I think the running back position is going to be loaded again. But, you know, the line of scrimmage is where Fresno State's going to have to start. And let's see what those offensive and defensive lines look like in the spring. Let's see how tough they can be by the fall. And if Matt Entz gets the kind of play on the offensive and defensive lines that he's hoping for, it could be a very successful 2026.
Well, it's very well stated, and I hope you're right in a variety of levels, because I will tell you from my point of view, being older, and I mentioned this to Panish last Friday, there was an odd bit of symmetry in that. Is the only other time that Indiana had ever been to the Rose Bowl was January 1st, 1968, and their job was, as was the case this last Rose Bowl, to stop a guy named Simpson. This time it was Ty. That time it was a guy named O.J. Simpson. Okay, that's how long it had been since Indiana had been relevant at the Rose Bowl. And so on the one hand, I'd like to say, you know what, they were the little engine that could, and Brian very quickly said the little engine, of course, that had guys like Mark Cuban behind them. And I realize that that's one of the reasons, despite the fact Cignetti's done a wonderful job, if that money, that ancillary money, and that's a lot of money, when the benefactors didn't come along, they couldn't entice people. And I say, okay, well, maybe there's a lesson to be learned there, though you can be kept down and somehow find your way up. And then I see Texas Tech, to your point, 125th in recruiting of defensive line personnel. That's where they were getting hurt. All of a sudden, you've got a benefactor worth $4 billion who decides to get involved. And, Paul, your recruiting class was number three for defensive lines. Now, as much as I want to say the coaches did a great job, you and I both know why they went from 125 to three, correct?
Yeah, but it didn't buy them a championship, right? It got them in the playoffs, but it didn't buy them a championship. And it really is unfortunate, Tony, because it's changing priorities, it's changing motivations, it's robbing the sport of, I think, its most valuable asset, which is preparation for life. And I know we're getting short on time, but before we close out, that makes me think of the celebration of life that I got to attend the other day in Layton for our friend Bob Fraley. I can't remember a graveside ceremony where there were more people. I mean, there were 300 people there. Because he changed their lives, right? He didn't coach them for a year and give them a paycheck. He changed their lives with who he was, what he was about, what his priorities were, and how he cast their vision forward, how he prepared them for all the life situations they were going to face. And that's why most people get into coaching. I think the money in it now may be drawing some people who aren't wired that way. But, boy, I sure would love to see a way to get back to the real mission and core and culture that college sports has given to our society for the last 100+ years. Because otherwise, 50 years from now, people may not even talk about college sports anymore because it's not relevant. It was just something that was like another job or even worse, that there's negative impacts because of the shift in priorities.
No question. And I'm trying to adjust to it, Paul, because I love sport and always will. But it has been an adjustment, that's for sure. And by the way, as I let you go, and I know you share the thought with me as well, condolences to Mark Barsotti and the entire Barsotti family. His dad, Jim, passed away. One of the great, great guys and a true legend in Madera. And I wanted to make sure that was out there as well, because it's one of the really great Valley families, as you know.
Amen.
Well, Paul, listen, have a wonderful week and a very successful Bulldog night, I hope, tomorrow. And you and I will talk about it as the week wraps up, as we will be at National Championship Day next Monday when we talk. Take care, my friend.
Adios. See you, Tony.
All right. My good friend Paul Leftwich, take a break. Come back with more as Bulldog Hour continues on this Monday in Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. About 3 or 4 minutes ago on the show, and fill up for 2 hours of this fine show behind the bench, and then it's time for the last of the wild card weekend games, the Monday night game between the Texans and the Steelers. Again, the Texans a better team, but because the Steelers won the division, we've talked about this, 1 through 4 go to the divisional winners, and that means they are home with the number one seed, of course, getting the bye. That's the reason the Rams had to go back to Carolina, to Charlotte, and it almost bit them in the rear end twice because they had lost there a few weeks ago and almost lost Saturday, but they did survive. I'll tell you all about the entirety of the schedule in just a moment, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering. But first, want to remind you one more time about our buddies at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. They have the new Zinger sandwich available right now. It's a crispy hand-breaded chicken filet. It's seasoned just right and served hot in a toasted bun with cool, crisp lettuce and creamy sauce. It'll hit every craving for you. It's bold, it's spicy, and as always, it's finger-licking good. And mentioned before, whether you're craving the spice or just the great taste, the Zinger delivers that KFC crunch that we all love and have certainly enjoyed over these many years. So if you have a chance, stop by the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Pick up the new Zinger sandwich today. And also keep in mind, tomorrow they've got the $10 eight-piece or eight tenders offer still in place. You still have the country fried steak offers. You've got the pot pie offers. A lot of great stuff going on at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. And again, if you stop in, tell them thanks for supporting athletics throughout this great valley of ours. Now, as far as the schedule goes, it comes, as I said, the courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof, 449-4500 or PrecisionENG or PrecisionEng, if you prefer, .net. And again, one of the things that has been able to do through the Lyles College of Engineering on campus and a proud graduate there at Fresno State of the Lyles College of Engineering is to support athletics and academics, unifying both to provide more funding resources to students. It's been great fundraising that has been done by Ed and his outstanding business. And so many of those grads from the Lyles College of Engineering on campus at Fresno State go to work for Ed at Precision Civil Engineering. He allows me the time every day to tell you about the schedule. So, again, mention the playoff game tonight. That'll wrap up the wild card weekend. We know this. No matter who wins tonight, they're going to New England to play the Patriots next Sunday. We know the other seven teams, and we know the winner of this will head there. What we don't know yet is which network will have the games, or what we know the 49ers, for instance, in Seattle, naturally will play in Seattle, whether it's going to be the early or late game. We know it'll be on Saturday. We know the Rams are in Chicago. They are definitely going to play on Sunday. All of it will be sorted out as soon as the game ends tonight. So whoever wins tonight between the Steelers and the Texans, and they'll kick it off at 5:15, so Phil will be with you until 5 o'clock. Whoever wins tonight, game is on ABC and ESPN television, by the way. They'll go to New England, and at that time, as the game finishes, you'll know which network will have which game. All you need to know radio-wise is all four of them, the two on Saturday and the two on Sunday, will be on our air through Westwood One. Look forward to it. Great matchups. The Bills going to Colorado. They're going to Denver. The 49ers, of course, and Seattle also on Saturday. The Rams to Chicago on Sunday, and then the winner of this game to New England on Sunday. And then we will have, of course, the conference championship games next week. It'll be a very busy week next week because it'll be the conference title games on the 18th and then the national championship through ESPN Radio between Indiana and Miami on the 19th. So a lot of great football coming up. Also for us tonight, in addition to the football game on 14:30, the Lakers are in Sacramento to play the Kings tonight, 6:45, the pre, 7 o'clock. They will tip it off at Golden One Center in Sacramento. Other reminders, Phil normally 3 to 6 Monday through Friday with his fine show Behind the Bench. You can always reach him on the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. Also on Thursdays with our good friend Rod Avedikian at the great, great place that is Fashion Furniture, best furniture, nothing like it in all of California. A great conversation of Phil shows, some good eats as well, El Paso across from River Park. Also, Paul Metters, two fine shows, one on our sister station, the Deuce 790, that Sunbird Sports Show, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics, 6 to 7 on Wednesday evenings, and his long-running show on 1430 on Saturday morning, Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon from First String Sports. By the way, basketball with those two gentlemen tomorrow, 6:15, Hoover and Garza. Phil will tell you more about that as he comes up. Everything for the station, 1430 ESPNFresno.com. Get the live links and podcasts there. And finally, to reach me, tdad1@att.net, TDAD, the number one, at att.net. I'll answer your emails over the air the best I can. Thanks again to Ed Dunkel, everybody at Precision Civil Engineering. Thanks to the local operators at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Thanks As always, the Lees Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. They bring you all the guests through the Lees Air Hotline, which is 559-320-1430. Thanks always to Jorge, and thanks to Paul Leffler for his time. Jackson with me tomorrow. We'll talk transfer portal throughout the hour. Stay tuned for Phil, then playoff football on 1430 and the Lakers on 790. This is KFIG Fresno.